We're back with All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Guy Raz. And for Republicans, a new hero this week, a man already being called by the nickname 41.
I thank the people of Massachusetts for electing me as your next United States Senator.
While the results of the Massachusetts election may have diminished by one the number of our senators in the Senate, it has not diminished the need for affordable quality health care reform.
House Majority Leader Nancy Pelosi and Massachusetts Senator-elect Scott Brown. Brown, of course, replaces the late Ted Kennedy and becomes the Republicans' crucial 41st vote in the Senate. Our news analyst, James Fallows, has been following this story and others for us this week. And, Jim, well, let's start with the aftermath of that election in Massachusetts. Does it mean that, effectively, President Obama's ambitions have to be scaled back?
Well, certainly this is a different chapter of the Obama presidency starting now. And you and I have talked before about how much of modern politics seems to depend on fluke. The only reason that the Democrats have had a supermajority of 60 votes for the last few months is the switch of Arlen Specter for his switch of parties and then the Al Franken cliffhanger in Minnesota. And now from another sort of semi-fluke back to 41 votes for the Republicans. We've talked, too, about the long cycle of politics, that Ronald Reagan was less popular at this stage in his presidency than Obama is now, and certainly he went on to be successful, and Bill Clinton suffered a catastrophic defeat in his first midterm election. So there are prospects for Barack Obama, but clearly things are very different in what he can plan now. And we have the stage set for yet another very high-stakes Obama speech with his State of the Union address next week.
I mean, Jim, at this point, do you suspect President Obama will be taking a page out of Bill Clinton's handbook circa 1994?
I think he'll probably take one from both the Clinton and the Reagan handbooks. The Reagan handbook was essentially to get the economy going again and then popularity returns. That was Clinton's strategy, too. The other thing that I think Clinton effectively did was to sort of distinguish his personal brand from the Democratic Party brand, somewhat to the resentment of the Democratic Party officials. But Clinton did that. He obviously was reelected in a landslide in 1996. So I think that we'll see some of those tactics applied, too.
Jim, a story that quite possibly obscures most everything else that's happened politically in the last few months, a decision by the Supreme Court to lift the restrictions on the amount of money corporations can spend for election campaigns.
It was surprising in its process because the Supreme Court sort of went out of its way to answer a question that the case didn't necessarily ask. It could have been decided on much narrower grounds, but instead they had this sweeping decision essentially eliminating constraints on corporate financing of political activity. And surprising in its consequences, too, because so many state laws and so many federal laws are essentially out the window now. In the very short term, what it means is another problem for the Democrats in this year's midterm elections. In the long term, we just don't know yet.
You know, I remember watching these sort of sci-fi movies in the 80s, like sort of films like Blade Runner, where you see this future that is dominated by corporate advertising. And in some ways, this appears to be life imitating art.
Well, certainly the case against this decision is that it's one more step towards corporatized political life. It's not as if corporations in the U.S. or around the world are short on political influence now. And this decision, by essentially saying there's no legitimate distinction between a person's right of free speech and corporations' right of free speech, including political participation, to those who oppose it, as I do, it is one more step towards what you're describing.
Jim, I'm curious what you made of Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's speech on internet freedom, because, of course, you follow events in China very closely. And she called internet freedom a basic human right. She criticized China for restricting what its citizens can and cannot see online. And it's causing quite a stir in China. This speech would not have made news in the United States, really, unless the Chinese criticized it.
I think this was like what American politicians have said for 25 years and saying we have to deal with China in many ways, but there are things we don't like about its political system. The reason I think it made news was, number one, the Google story, which has been very big in China and around the world. And number two, at least to my knowledge, it's the first time there was this clear connection between saying we think that regardless of what the national policies might be, we believe that free expression and free access to the internet is some kind of basic human right. And that is a kind of new escalation of the argument that I at least hadn't heard before.
That's our news analyst, James Fallows. He's also the national correspondent for The Atlantic, where he also writes a blog. Jim, thanks very much.
My pleasure, Guy. Thank you.